All right, we're going to go back in time again. Go over to 2 Kings again. You say again, yes, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Brought a message out of 2 Kings. If you weren't here, don't worry about it. I'm always glad to repeat myself. Don't mind at all. But we had a situation over in 2 Kings. This one's out of chapter 6. So you can be finding this place. But before that, and just to brief you, because it plays into this message today, that, and I just titled it, This Message That We May See. And that's the title, and it's all about it, that we may see. But preceding this, we had the commanding general of the Arameans, and the king of Aram found out that there was a prophet in Israel who had the power of God. So he sends, and you remember the story, but he sends his general, Naaman, over there, or Naaman, if you want to call him that. But he sends him over there to see Elisha. Now, these are enemies of Israel. Takes a lot of gall to do this, right? Also takes a lot of, you got to care a lot about a person, first of all, to send them into enemy country. You didn't even know if maybe the guy get killed. It's a good way to bushwhack him over there. He's going to take some troops, but not his whole army. It's a pretty good way to knock out the guy. There's just all kinds of risks that were taken. But this is enemy of Israel. And that means an enemy of God at that time. But what happened? Naaman went to Elisha, and Elisha told him to go dip in the Jordan 7 times and get over it. The guy throws a fit, then humbles himself and bows down in the Jordan, and guess what happens? He comes up and his skin is as clean as a little baby's. And he goes back to king of Aram. And you think, wow, there ought to be some gratitude there. And then the next thing you know, you go into chapter 6 and you find out that the king of Aram invades Israel again. It's like, what is it with this guy? You send your general over there, and God, through Elisha, heals this guy, and then you turn around and attack him. And you want to ask this guy, what is your problem? You know, the king of Aram, what is your problem? You presume on God, you send your general over here, your commander-in-chief of all your forces has got leprosy. You send him over there, and God, through the prophet, heals this guy. It's like, wouldn't you think at least you just say, okay, we're not going to be raiding you again. We're not going to have war. You did this for us. Let's knock it off. No, let's go right back to it. Isn't that amazing? It's hard to fathom. He just did all this for you, and you're right back at it. The first point in here, in this message, and I wanted to give you that little, we'll drop back, and let's get this fresh in our mind, because here we go to war again. And so what does it teach us? And there's some lessons to learn from all this stuff. And here's the first point, and I'll read to you in just a moment our passages for today. But the king of Aram went to war with Israel, and I'll give you a little background, and we'll give you some insight. So they're back at war. Israel's being invaded. And so that every time, now here's the fun part. I didn't put all this in here. Just too many passages for you to read. We'll pick up on our reading part in a minute, but I'll paraphrase the rest of this. Read all of this so you can get it word for word when you get a chance. The king of Aram goes to war, but every time he has battle plans, they don't ever work. Because God speaks to Elisha and tells Elisha exactly where the king of Aram's troops are going to be. And Elisha tells the king of Israel, and he prepares for it. So the king of Aram is getting awful upset, because every time he tries to conquer Israel, they get blindsided. And so the king of Aram begins to accuse his generals, his officers, of who's betraying me. We've got a spy over here. And when they spoke up and said, it's not us, man. And they didn't quite talk that, talk that way to a king, but that's my way. It's, hey, dude, it's not us. they have that prophet over there, and every time we start to invade Israel, God tells that guy what's going on, and he tells the king, and we get busted. And so we pick up here, the king of Aram gets very upset over it, and he sends this whole, he sends his army to get one guy. He said, let's just go over there, and we're going to take Elisha. We're going to stop this mess. And it here's how much fear and respect. Let me tell you something. There's so many things in Scripture to grab. Let me tell you something. When your life is filled with the Spirit, when you have the power of God within you, I want you to relate this to something. This king here, you can see right here, when you have the kind of power in your life like Elisha had, and if you don't think you have it, you do. You have the power of God in you through the power of the Holy Spirit that's in you, through believing in Jesus Christ. The devil is scared of you, and that's why he sends armies against you. The same way. Why would the king of Aram send an army to capture one guy? Because he's scared of him. He's already taken leprosy, you know, through him, God did it. But through this guy, leprosy's taken from my commander-in-chief. I know there's power over here. Well, we better take the whole army to get this dude. And so they invade Israel, and they send an army after one person. Now, friend, when you can cause the army, the devil, to send legions of demons against you, we all fear that thing. Why? That means God is in you powerfully. And some of you get depressed and upset when the enemy's after you so much. Why do you think he is? Because you are a threat to him. He's scared of you. He's trying to whittle you down. And if you recognize that, you won't be as prone to give in to the assaults of the enemy. And so here they come and they surround the hills. They're all out on the plains and some in the bottom of the hills. And they've got him with chariots and horsemen. And one poor prophet and his servant wakes up one morning, and that's where we pick up here. I want to read this with you. You say, you really like this, don't you? Oh, yeah, I like this stuff. I liked it. I like to see when the enemies of God get their bottoms kicked. I really do. I like to see when God shows us what he can do if we'll just let him live in and through us and do his thing. And so the servant of Elisha went outside and he freaked out. He said, there's troops, horses, chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what would we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. That's verse 15. And then we go into 16. Don't be afraid, Elisha said. Now, what are you afraid of? He said, there are more on our side than on theirs. Do you know that's what God's saying to you right now? What are you afraid of? There's more on our side than there is theirs. But the young man couldn't see it. So Elisha prayed, Lord, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes. You follow? If you're following this, if you're not, you can read this. If you got it up here, Yeah, there you go. And you know, and don't be afraid. And then the Lord opened his eyes and he looked up and saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. He saw what he couldn't see before. God opened his eyes. And we'll get to this in a minute in the message. And when God opened his eyes, he saw that those hills were, you know, here's the big bad army of the king of Aram, and here's God's big bad army. And there the hills are full of chariots of fire and horses. And all of a sudden he sees what a puny thing it is to go against God. You think you're so tough. And the enemies of God right here in this country and in the Middle East and wherever they are, or North Korea, or wherever you may find them, they're nothing. Don't you see it? They're nothing in the hands of the living God. They can threaten and posture and they can fire their rockets. And yet, look, open our eyes that we can see what's really there to protect us. And this wasn't just for Elisha. It's for all of us if you could just get it. And he opened his eyes and he saw all of this. Horses and chariots of fire. And so here comes the Arminian army. and Aramean army, and they advanced toward him. And Elisha said, "Lord, I mean, this gets better. Strike them blind." And the Lord struck them with blindness. And this whole enemy army is blind, wandering around. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? You know, somewhere here you'd think they'd catch on, right? That this is maybe not a good idea. Somewhere you think some folks in Washington and other places would catch on that maybe it's not a good idea to keep going against God. To keep belittling Christ. To keep leaving Him out of everything. It's not a good idea, friends. You're going to find yourself surrounded one of these days by the armies of God, and it's not going to go well for you. And so these people are not blind. And Elisha goes out and says, "You've come the wrong way." He's really having fun here now. And so he says, "You need to let me take you to the right place. I'm moving through this. You can read it all up there." He said, "You've come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me." And so they're groping along blind, the whole army. And with one man, get this, one man of God is leading an entire enemy army. You don't see it, do you? It's what you do every day. You're just like this. You have this power in you and around you. You don't realize every day the power of God within you that is knocking Satan and his demonic army flat on their backs everywhere you go. If we could just see it, if we just understand the power that Jesus Christ has and gives us. And so he leads them right in the middle of Samaria. And of course, the king of Israel said, "Can I kill him? Can I kill him? Can I kill him? Let me kill him." He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it either. Both of these kings need a little work. And Elijah said, "Of course not. Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again to their master." He said, "Treat them like the people of God that we are." That's why Jesus brings this forward and says, "Love your enemies and do good to them. God's going to take care of them. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to go seeking revenge." I cannot blame the king of Israel for wanting to wipe these guys out. These folks have been attacking Israel and attacking Israel and attacking Israel. Why not finish them right there? Our human nature, my human nature, the warrior spirit within a lot of us would say, "Hey, we got them at our mercy. Let's end this." And Elisha says, "God has a plan. Do it God's way. And let's feed them and give them water and food, because by doing that, we're heaping burning coals on their heads. We're shaming them in a way that nothing else can shame them." And they sent them home. They made a feast for them. Sent them home. After that, look at this. After that, these raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. They didn't stay away forever, but they stayed away for many, many years. And one of these days we'll come back and we'll go back to what happens if you mess with Israel anymore. But they didn't bother Israel anymore after that. Why? Because they'd been at Israel's mercy. And every one of them realized, they gave them back their sight, by the way. And they all could see and they realized, we could die here today. And these people who we have been attacking and hurting and stealing their children, wiping out their villages, and they just threw a feast and fed us. What kind of people are these? We don't need to hurt these people. They're bigger than us. If we could just see it, that's how you overcome your enemies. It's not by picking up a spear and driving it through their heart. It's by giving them a feast and treating them like God would treat them. That could almost be the message, but I've got some points here and I didn't work on this for nothing, so you're going to have to endure it. So here we go. Let me go back to this experience over there in healing Naaman and doing all of this, and then this army attacks. One thing you need to realize, there's some teaching points here. And this is one of the first point is, you cannot ever depend on gratitude. How many of you have been burned, hurt, stabbed in the back when you thought you had done all these things for someone, somebody's, whatever, and they just stabbed you good, and it just blew you out of the saddle. How many have ever had that happen? Yes, you thought they'll be, yes, thank you. You thought they'll be grateful. I've won a friend here. I've done good to these people. And they just turn around and let you have it. So a lesson to learn here is don't ever think that gratitude is going to mean very much in the long run. Our rewards come from God. Don't expect it from people. It's a great thing when someone's really, really has gratitude and they thank you and they're your friend. But look right here. You heal that general and you just come back and attack us again. No gratitude whatsoever. Gratitude is a fickle thing, friends. I've had it over the many years of doing this, and you think, and you visited people, and you minister to them, and you do everything you can, and you pray for them, and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and you know, and then one day they just let you have it. And you're going, and I have said many times, is there no gratitude at all? You're not grateful that we brought you food. You're not grateful that we gave you money. You're not grateful for the, no, not at all. Many people are, and like this fellow, that, and he was heading down the sidewalk in a little town, and here comes a guy that he'd ministered to, he'd given money to, he'd done a lot of things for over the years, and this guy approached him on the sidewalk and walked right by him, and he stopped him and turned him around. He said, "Hey, did you not see me?" And the guy just kind of shrugged his shoulders and. And he said, "What's the matter with you?" And the guy said, I don't have to speak to you. Well, it kind of offended this fellow. And he said, "What do you mean? I've been to your home. I brought food when you needed it, blah, blah, blah. And I gave you all this." And that guy looked at him and said, "Well, you didn't do nothing for me today." And that's the way a lot of people are. You look for your gratitude. You look for your rewards. Listen to me. You look for your rewards from God, not from people. Many people say, I've heard people say this, and I understand it. But friends, don't let the enemy get you here. Don't let him make you angry and bitter. I've had people say, "I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to give any more money to anybody else. I'm not going to do this and do that." But listen to me. That's exactly what the devil wanted you to do. That's why he used them to hurt you. God says you feed your enemy, you give them water, you give them food to drink, something, you give them food and water to drink and all this. Why? Because you're heaping burning clothes on their head. Wow. Okay. Yeah. You're heaping burning coals on their heads. What does it mean? Listen, you do the right thing even if it doesn't feel good at the moment. Because your reward is not going to come from people. It's going to come from God. And we need to keep our perspective. I'm not really doing this for you. I'm doing it because of Him. He lives in me and His love is in me. And I'm doing it because Christ in me, my hope of glory, says to do it. Okay? Yes. And God will reward you and keep your eyes and your heart lifted up. Just do what we're supposed to do as Christians and let God take care of this thing. He'll reward you. We've all been hurt. I've been hurt. And there's times, you know, those idle moments when you're out there alone, whatever. You have these flashbacks. We all have them, right? I'm not by myself. And isn't it amazing how you can relive a bad incident? And the worst thing about reliving it is you think of all the things you wish you would have done. And you didn't. You didn't because God didn't want you to. But in my thoughts, thinking back over the years of whatever incidents that have happened, God, you know, it's like, why didn't I hurt them? Why didn't I tell them off? Has anybody ever had tell-off thoughts? Okay, I don't know why I ask. I'm sorry. And in those thoughts, you really just ripped them from one end to the other? Yeah. We all have done that. You say, why didn't I do that at the time? I wonder if it was because the Holy Spirit was restraining you. Huh? He said, no, I want to heap burning coals on their head. I don't want you doing that. That takes it all away. Vengeance is mine, that saith the Lord, I'll repay. So Aram, the king of Aram, continued in war against Israel. The healing of Naaman quickly forgotten. And so what's the lesson here with this gratitude thing? Don't assume that doing the right thing will make others do right. Just do it. Just do it and put your eyes up here. Put your eyes on Jesus Christ. That's what Colossians said. Put your eyes and your heart on things above, not on this earth. There are people you can do something for and they will be your friend for life. But there's many more who will pass you on that sidewalk and ignore you because you didn't do something today. That's a good lesson. Just do the right thing and leave the rest with God. Secondly, I want you to hear this. God protects His faithful. I started to put faithful people, faithful ones, but you know what I mean? God protects His faithful. Those that are faithful to Him. God would tell Elisha what the enemy was up to, their plans, and Elisha would tell the king of Israel. And these folks couldn't defeat Israel because God revealed the plans to Elisha. Let me tell you something. Do you know God does that for you every day? Are you aware of this? God speaks to His people, and if you'll listen, you'll have that check in your spirit. You'll have that discernment. You'll have that, we call it, I just had a feeling I ought not go there. What do you think is happening? The same thing that happened there. God is telling you the enemy's plans. He's over there. He's prepared for you. Don't go that way. Have you ever started just to make a call and you just knew, you put it down and it was kind of like the thing was hot? It was like, don't do that. You knew not to. And if you ever violated it, did you realize that you really got in trouble when you violated that little check in your spirit? You did it anyway? I won't even talk about, have you ever bought anything when there was a check in the spirit and you did it anyway? Did that work out okay? God does the same thing now. If we just listen. He's doing the same. He's warning you of the enemy's plans. How many of you look back in relationships and say, you know, if I would have just listened to that little check in my spirit, I wouldn't have gotten involved with that person. Anybody here can raise their hand to that? Oh, okay, a bunch of, yeah, okay. You knew, didn't you? Oh, two hands. Okay, thank you, ma'am. It's true, isn't it? We knew. And I've had people say to me, oh, Tony, I prayed and I asked God, why, if God didn't want me to do it, why didn't He just stop me? And it's like He would have had to have killed you to made you not do it. You were going to do it. What do you mean, why didn't God just stop me? He was trying to stop you. And I mean, literally, an angel of God would have had to come down and just kill you dead because you weren't going to listen. And you know, God is such a loving God that if we want to really do it, what's He going to do? He's going to let you do it. And then it's like, let them learn by not listening. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. That one in the back really liked that point. I'm grateful. Thank you. I'll take all the applause I can get. God tells you the enemy's plans all the time. I'm going to tell you what He gives you. Listen to this. God gives you wisdom. He gives you a discerning spirit. He gives you insight from His Word. He gives you knowledge from His Word. God speaks to other people. God speaks to your fellow Christians, your family members. Friends, don't ever be too proud to listen to somebody else. Listen to me. You don't have to do everything that somebody says, but at least have the courtesy to listen, because God might be saying something to you that you need to pray about. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, and this is tough. There's been more than once that people I didn't much care for spoke words of wisdom to me. sometimes that gnarly, grouchy, ornery, and whatever you call them that you won't say in here, will say something, and later you think about that and go, So even your enemies sometimes can have a word from God for you. If a mule, a donkey, can speak to Balaam, I think God can speak through anyone or anything at any given time. So always be tuned to pay attention. God speaks through children. God speaks through His creation. And there's times maybe you're in a hurry and you're trying to get out that door, and you, whatever, you pop a button, you tear something, something happens, you spill something on, you got to change clothes and you're late. You do not know that that might be God intervening because there's an accident waiting to happen. There's something going on, and we get so upset and we're throwing fits and we're slinging and knocking. And how do you know that God wasn't trying to stop something from happening to you? Learn to roll with life. Get along with what God has out here. You don't give in to disease or anything. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying learn to roll, and we get so upset. I thought I was going to be late this morning. I want you to know, I ironed this shirt right here 2 days ago and hung it in the closet, and I had it just like I wanted it. I pulled this thing out this morning, and it was full of wrinkles. It's happened to you. You know, how does it by itself just go back and become a wadded up mess? And I pulled it out and it was just wrinkled everywhere. And here I am and I'm on my little time schedule and I got to be at church. And now this shirt, well, I'm looking for another shirt, but I wanted to wear this. See, now maybe I didn't have to wear this, but I like this color and with this color. One of the other shirts hanging in there, but I don't want this one. So what do I end up doing? I got to winter heat up the iron, unplanned, more time. I started ironing the shirt, and all the wrinkles won't come out. So I grab the sizing. You know, you can buy that spray sizing extra crisp. If you need them to come out, spray extra crisp sizing spray on there, and it'll come out like this, however this is. I don't know how this looks, but it's better than it was. And so I got this done and everything, and then I realized, you know, you could have just got another shirt. And you know what I was doing inside? Man, I didn't want another shirt. Isn't it amazing how as adults sometimes we can just be standing there like little kids? Oh, I see some fingers pointing. I'm so sorry. I don't want to stare too long. There's fingers pointing behind backs here today and to the side. And yeah, well, we can all relate to this. But then I look at it and say, you know, maybe this all happened not just out of my acting this way. But I wonder if God was trying to prevent something. I wonder if maybe God's teaching me how to roll with life. And maybe I've got to get up here and bring a message that He's saying, why don't you just live a little bit of it and make it more personal? He does that with a lot of us. So let's wrap this point up here. God protects His faithful. He warned Israel. They always knew through the prophet. He warns you. He's guiding you all the time. But here's the problem. Friends, the difference here was that the man of God was willing to listen when God gave warnings. So many of God's children don't listen to the Lord. And I'm not trying to be judgmental or critical. You just see it in the things that happen in their lives. And friends, the lesson here is God will protect you. But listen to God when He speaks. Listen to His Word. Listen to the check in your spirit. Listen to that word of knowledge that you get going down the road. You know, you're traveling along and it's like, you need to turn here. There's been times that There's a road you can cut through that's a little shorter coming into my house, and it's FM 385. But there's been times that I felt, don't go down that road, go the long way through Junction. And they end up finding out that there was something down there. You know, there were cattle loose on the road. He might not have seen them coming in later. It could be any number of things. It's like, see? Just if you don't... Listen, if it doesn't feel right, you better ask God why. Just ask Him why, and He'll lead you. He'll protect His faithful. Now, let me get this point. Oh, this message, you like this message? It's okay? Well, we're going to get better. Then I'm going to close. Because I'm going to tell you what the eyes... You know what? Listen to me. The eyes of the heart. The eyes of the heart are the key. We all see with these. That's great. But if you want to really see, ask God to open the eyes of your heart. And to let you see what He sees. That's what Elisha prayed for. God, open his eyes. Lord, open his eyes. And what did he see? He opened his eyes and he saw the power of God. And let me grab this. This is not a point to belabor too long and worry out. The enemy, the devil, is always trying to get his people emotionally wrapped up in stuff. So that we cannot see with anything but these eyes and hear with these ears and feel with our own personal feelings when God is saying, if you just look out there, if you just look beyond and let me give you eyes of the heart and see what I see, you'll see that I'm about to perform a miracle here, give you a great victory, but you're overwhelmed with feelings and you're judging by your immediate circumstances. So the armies of the king of Aram are surrounding you. Well, look above that. The hills are full of horses and chariots of fire, and I can come down on them and wipe them out at the snap of my fingers. Just look with the eyes of the heart, and you'll see you have nothing to fear. The people are sick. When you're not well, when your finances aren't good, you can get so focused on the illness, or somebody in the family is just whatever, they're just misbehaving. And you get so wrapped up in that and get dysfunctional with it. And you can't see that God is there and working, and He will heal you. But you've got to see Him and see His power. Quit looking at the illness. Look to God who can fix it. If you can just learn to see from the heart. If you could just learn to see from the heart. Eyes of the heart. You wouldn't be so worried. You wouldn't be so afraid. You wouldn't be so jealous. You wouldn't be so insecure. You wouldn't be losing your temper all the time. Because you would see that God is at work. And greater is Jesus in you than he that's in the world. And you'll see that victory is yours. And you'll see what Romans means in Romans 8 when he says you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. Now I want to close with this. There's one other thing here that we may see. We started with that gratitude. Don't depend on gratitude. It's fickle. We see that God protects His faithful. And we see that we need to look with and see with the eyes of the heart. And then fourthly, we need to see that prayer makes it happen. When you're faced with circumstances out of your control, when you hear bad news, when things aren't looking great, I want to say to you, pray, 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 pray. Not only were the hills full of the armies of God, what a magnificent sight. What a stunning thing to all have your eyes open and see this. And then you realize my fears are for nothing. I have nothing to worry about. These people are about to get it. But then Elisha, the prophet, walks out there. And in the power of prayer, instead of saying, God, descend upon them and kill every one of them, he didn't do it. God, strike them blind. Because he already knew God had spoken to him. God had a plan. He did not let his human emotions overcome the will of God. What a lesson to learn. God struck them blind, and then he led them into the middle of the enemies, which is Israel's city, Samaria. And he said, God, open their eyes. And God did. Have you ever thought how much power God's given you in prayer? You can shut down the enemy. You can strike your enemies blind in the power of prayer. And we're talking about believing prayer, knowing prayer, prayer that is convinced that my God can do anything. That's what Elijah was doing. And he was praying that kind of prayer, Lord, strike them blind. And he leads them in there where they're totally surrounded by their enemies. What did God want to show them? Here's what he wanted to show them. You know what it is? God showed those enemies of Israel, I'm not here to kill you. I'm here to save people. I'm here to tell you, don't touch my anointed again. But I'm here to tell you, I'm going to give you another day because I'm God and I'm not judging by what you've been doing. I'm looking to you now to go do the right thing. And then he speaks, feed these people. My people, show them who I am through your actions and attitudes. Do you see this? I wonder sometimes if God presents us with overwhelming situations so that we will call out in his name and believe in faithful prayer that God is bigger than my circumstances. That God is bigger than these situations. That God is bigger than my enemies. And inevitably what you're going to see is that God will open your eyes and you will see the hills full of the chariots of the Lord. And you will see the power of God unto salvation. And you will see that you don't have to be afraid. And you don't have to be shaking and trembling. You don't have to worry. You don't have to lie awake in bed at night any longer. Why? Because my God reigns. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. God, give us the grace to forgive. Lead us not into temptation, trials, testing. Let us not be led into it by anyone or anything. Oh, Father, deliver us from evil, the evil one. And Father, in that, deliver us from our own selves. Get us out of ourselves. Open the eyes of our hearts so we can see God. So we can see with your eyes. Deliver us from all evil. And yours is the honor, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory, forever and ever. We thank you and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.